إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء اتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد إن أصدق الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. By the grace and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, we once again have the chance to come together to discuss an important affair, and that is the affair of Tawheed. And indeed, the believer should understand the importance of Tawheed, the fact that it was the first thing that Allah Azza wa Jal ordered mankind with in the Quran, as you have in Surah Al-Baqarah, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اِعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O mankind, worship your Lord who created you and those who came before you so that you may establish taqwa. So it's the first order to mankind in the Quran. And because of that, it was the first thing that all of the prophets and the messengers called to. It's the first thing that all of the prophets and all of the messengers called to. When Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was sent to his people, and his people had been led astray, because before his time, there were individuals who were pious scholars. They used to call the people to the haq, they used to call the people to the truth, and the people used to have a genuine love for these scholars. When they passed away, the shaitan took the opportunity, as he always does. He's an individual who he waits for the opportunity. He's very patient, and he waits for the opportunity to lead the people astray, and he will never leave them upon good. لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I will certainly, as he said, our Lord informed us that the shaitan said to Allah, I will certainly sit on your straight path. So the shaitan will never leave the people to be upon khayr. It's his way that when the people are upon khayr and they're upon istiqamah, it's his way that he's going to be patient and see where an opportunity presents itself for him to guide the people astray, far astray. Not so that he can only influence them and have them fall into a sin or two. No, he wants to guide them far astray. He wants them to take another path that would lead them far astray from that which is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. So when these people were upon khayr, they were upon good, then these scholars passed away, then he came to the people. And he came to them in the form, which is also from his way, he comes to them in the form of an advisor. He comes to them in the form of an individual who wants good for them. So he came to them and said, why don't you place pictures? Why don't you create pictures of these individuals so that you can remember them? So he comes to them in the form of an advisor. He came to Adam and Hawa in the form of an advisor. إِنِّي لَكُمَا مِنَ النَّاسِحِينَ فَدَلَّهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ. And Allah Ta'ala mentioned how he came to Adam and Hawa came to them, "Verily, I am sincere. Inni lakuma minan nasihin. Verily, I'm sincere to the both of you. I'm sincere. I want good for you. I want to advise you." So he did the same thing to those people. He did the same thing to the people of Nuh, as we have in the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. So he led them astray. Put pictures so you remember them. And this shows you how he's patient, because the people that he first encouraged to make the pictures were not the people that were going to commit the shirk. It was their offspring. It was their offspring. So those people, they used to look at the pictures and they used to remember those scholars, and they used to make tawbah, they used to make istighfar, because this is that which the scholars used to remind them of. So the shaitan was patient. This generation, okay, I haven't caught this generation, but I will catch the next generation. Because the children, when the children of those people used to see their fathers and mothers, aunts and uncles, grandparents, looking at these pictures and having respect, a tremendous amount of respect for these pictures, the shaitan knew, of course, that these elders are going to pass away and these children, I will come to them. So this shows you his plot and his means and his methods of plotting. So he came to them, came to the children and said, "Your parents used to worship these pictures, so you likewise should worship them." And that's how shirk began. That's how shirk began. So Allah Azza wa Jalla sent Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, "Worship your Lord. Ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. You do not have a Lord other than Allah." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the prophets thereafter. He sent Salih, he sent Shu'aib, he sent the prophets that came thereafter, Ibrahim, Ishaq, Ismail, Yaqub, the prophets that came after Musa, Dawood, Sulaiman, Isa. He sent all of the prophets calling, "U'budu Allaha ma lakum min ilahin ghayru." Worship Allah, you do not have a Lord other than Him. And this was the call of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, calling his people to the worship of Allah. So if this is the first thing that the prophets and the messengers began with, the call to Tawheed, not only the call to Tawheed, but the warning against shirk. The warning against shirk, the call to Tawheed and the warning against shirk. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about the prophets and the messengers, and then he said, "Walaw ashraku lahabita anhum ma kanu ya'malun," in Surah Al-An'am. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the prophets and the messengers, and then he said, "And if they were to commit shirk, we would have made all of their actions invalid. We would have made all of their actions invalid." So the prophets and the messengers, did not only call to Tawheed, but likewise they warned against shirk. So this was the way of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this was the way of the prophets who came before them. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent 13 years in Mecca. He spent 13 years in Mecca calling the people to Tawheed. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not leave an opportunity except that he informed his companions of the affair of Tawheed. And you find this throughout the seerah of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you find that the Sahaba were strong in this affair of Tawheed, and it was something that they heard on a daily basis. It wasn't that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would only inform them of Tawheed once a week. It wasn't that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would only inform them of Tawheed from time to time. No, this was something that they heard on a daily basis. You had in the hadith of the companion that came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muawiyah bin al-Hakam al-Sulami. And he was an individual who had, he had a slave girl, and she used to take care of his crops. And one day he became upset because she wasn't doing her job as he expected from her. So he slapped her, and he became very upset. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ittini biha." He said, "Bring her to me." Then the Prophet ﷺ said, Ain Allah. He didn't ask, how long have you been working for him? And has he hit you in the past? Or how is he to... No, the Prophet ﷺ began it with what? With Tawheed. Ain Allah. قالت في السماء. قال ومن أنا؟ قالت أنت رسول الله. قال أعتقها فإنها مؤمنة. The hadith in Sahih Muslim. So the Prophet ﷺ is being approached by an individual who has mistreated his worker. He's being approached by an individual who has mistreated his worker. The Prophet ﷺ began it with Tawheed. So if the Prophet ﷺ began this affair with Tawheed, then what about the other affairs? Then what about the other affairs? What about the other affairs? So this was the way of our beloved Messenger ﷺ. He would always begin his affair with Tawheed. He had in the hadith of Zayd bin Khalid, where he mentioned that we went out with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the year of Hudaybiyah. فَأَصَابَنَا مَطَرٌ ذَاتَ لَيْلَةٍ. It rained that particular night. فَصَلَّ لَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alaihi wasallam صَلَاةُ الصُّبْحِ. He prayed the morning prayer with us. ثُمَّ أَقْبَلَ عَلَيْنَا. Then he turned toward us. فَقَالَ أَتَدْرُونَ مَاذَا قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ. Do you know what your Lord has said? Do you know what your Lord has said? And before we continue with the rest of the hadith, and this was the Prophet ﷺ informing the Sahaba about their Lord, but even the sifat of Allah. The sifat of Allah, that Allah speaks, unlike the ways of the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila and the likes of that. No, Allah tabarak ta'ala speaks. أَتَدْرُونَ مَاذَا قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ. Do you know what your Lord has said? They have prayed Salat al-Fajr. Salat al-Fajr, many of us, Salat al-Fajr means we pray and we go back to bed. We pray and we return home. The Prophet ﷺ is in teaching his companions Tawheed. قُلْنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ. Allah and His Messenger know best. قَالَ اللَّهُ أَصْبَحَ مِنْ عِبَادِي مُؤْمِنٌ بِي وَكَافِرٌ بِي فَأَمَّنْ مَنْ قَالَ مُطِرْنَا بِرَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ وَبِرِزْقِ اللَّهِ وَبِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ بِي وَكَافِرٌ بِكَوْكَبٍ وَأَمَّنْ مَنْ قَالَ مُطِرْنَا بِنَجْمِ كَذَا وَكَذَا فَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ بِالْكَوْكَبِ كَافِرٌ بِي. The hadith, which is reported in Sahih Imam al-Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah said, there are from my servants those who have awakened in the morning, they believe in me, and there are some from amongst my servants, they disbelieve in me. The individual who has woken up or awakened this morning and said, we have received this rain by the mercy of Allah and the bounties of Allah and the merits of Allah, this individual has believed in me and he has disbelieved in the stars. But as for the individual who was awakened this morning and said, it has rained because of this star or because of that star, this individual has disbelieved in me and he has believed in the stars. So we find that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the morning, Salat al-Fajr, he's teaching his companions about the affair. He's teaching his companions about the affair of Tawheed. And it's throughout the Sunnah. Mathalan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one time he came across a female, and she was at the grave, and she was crying. She was finding it difficult. One of her relatives, her child, has passed away. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ittaqillah wasbiri. The Prophet ﷺ said, fear Allah and be patient. So he's reminding them of Allah. He's reminding them of Allah. Likewise, the hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet ﷺ is reminding his companions of Tawbah. Allahu ashaddu farahan bi tawbati abdihi hayna yatubu ilayhi min ahadikum kana ala rahilatihi bi ardi falat. To the end of the hadith is well known. Verily Allah is greatly pleased with the tawbah of his servant when he repents. Similar to if one of you were in a barren land and he lost all of his provisions, to the end of the hadith, which was well known. The point in that is that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, throughout his time on the face of the earth, throughout the time of him being a prophet, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very diligent in teaching his companions this affair of Tawheed. He did not leave. And you see where that diligence comes from. Because one, it's the ways of the prophets and the messengers. Two, You have to be diligent and even more diligent. Why? Because the shaitan is diligent in guiding the people astray and calling them to indecency and shirk. He's diligent in guiding the people astray and calling the people to sin and shirk. So the caller has to be diligent in calling the people to tawheed and decency and calling them to taqwa. الشيطان يعيدكم الفحشاء والمنكر. The shaitan, he calls you, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, the shaitan calls you to, he calls you to evil deeds. He calls you to transgression. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls you to forgiveness. So the caller has to be diligent in calling to tawheed. If we were to go into the different texts which inform you of the merits of tawheed, indeed they are plenty. Tawheed is the first covenant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took with the children of Adam. As is mentioned in the Quran in Surah Al-A'raf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدُهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا. The statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when your Lord took the covenant from the children of Adam, and this was when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought Adam and took from his spine all of his lineage. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, am I not your Lord? They said, Bala, Shahidna. They said, indeed you are. We witness to the fact that you are our Lord. So this was the first covenant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took with the creation, the children of Adam. Allah brought from Adam, from his spine, all of his lineage, and brought them forth in front of their Lord and says, am I not your Lord? So this is the first covenant, yes. And that's why we're born with a fitrah, as we're going to mention some of the proofs in that regard. Then you also have, with the affair of Tawheed, the hadith of Abu Huraira, which is reported in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari as well as in Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu mawlud yuladu ala fitra, fa abawahu yuhawwidanihi aw yunasiranihi aw yumajjisani." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Every newborn is born upon the fitra. He is born upon the fitra, and then his parents, they turn him into a Jew, or they turn him into a Christian, or they turn him into a Majus, a fire worshipper." It was mentioned by Hafidh ibn Rajab, Hafidhahullah rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, فَإِنَّ الْعِبَادِ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مُفَتِّرِينَ عَلَى مَعْرِفَةِ اللَّهِ وَمُحَبَّتِهِ وَتَأَحُّلِهِ فَإِنَّ كُولَ مَوْلُودِ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ وَهِيَ سَلَامَةِ الْقَلْبِ وَقُبُولُهِ وَإِرَادَتِهِ لِلْحَقِّ الَّذِي هُوَ الْإِسْلَامِ. He said, even though the servants, all of the servants are born upon the fitrah, which is knowing Allah, having love for Allah, and taking Him as their Lord, every mawlud is upon this fitrah. And this is the pureness of the heart, and its readiness to accept, and its want for good. And this good is Islam. This good is Islam. وَلَكِنَّهُمْ مُحْتَاجُونَ أَشَدِّ الْحَاجَةِ إِلَى مَا يَحْمِلُهُ بِهِ قُوَّتُهُ الْعِلْمِيَّةِ وَالْعَمَلِيَّةِ وَهُوَ الْعِلْمَ النَّافِ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحِ. But this heart is in need, is in great need of that which would direct. It's in great need of that which would direct this knowledge and this action. And this is the beneficial knowledge and the righteous action. وَبِذَلَكَ يَسِيرُونَ مُسْلِمِينَ بِالْفِعْلِ. And thereafter, once the knowledge comes to the heart and the direction, because the fitrah, and in explaining the statement of Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala, the fitrah would allow the heart to want good and to seek good and to know that it has a Lord. But now the fitrah needs direction. Okay, but how do I worship Allah? And what book do I follow? And what messenger and the likes of that? Now the fitrah needs direction. So when this fitrah receives that direction, then it would become a submissive believer.
Then he says, فَلِذَٰلِكَ أَرْسَلَ اللَّهُ الرُّسُلُ وَأَنزَلَ مَعْهُمُ الْكُتُبُ لِيُرْشِدُوا الْخَلْقَ إِلَى مَا فِيهِ سَعَادَتَهُمْ وَفَلَاهُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَاهُمْ وَآخِرَتُهُمْ. He said, and because of that, Allah sent prophets and Allah sent books with them so that they can guide the creation to that which has its happiness, that which has, which will bring about happiness and joy in this life and the next. In this life and the next. So na'am, people are born upon the fitrah. A clean heart. A pure heart. A heart which is willing to accept the truth. A heart which knows it has a Lord that it must worship. But how, what gives direction to this heart? Beneficial, yani, that which brings direction to this heart is prophets and messengers and books. Callers. Callers. So this is that which, another benefit of the affair, another tremendous benefit of the affair of Tawheed. Also from the benefits of the affair of Tawheed is that it is the first thing that the prophets and the messengers began with. And we mentioned that. We mentioned that this is the first thing the prophets and the messengers began with. But you have it mentioned in Surah An-Nahl. Where Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولٍ أَنِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. Verily, we have sent in every nation a messenger to worship Allah and to abstain from the false deities. Na'am. This is the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the first thing that Allah ordered His messengers to begin with. Not to begin with good character, not to begin with manners, not to begin with honesty in transactions. Na'am. Those things are important, but they have no weight if the Tawheed is not present. If the Tawheed is void, if the people are worshipping other than Allah, if the people are upon major shirk, then those affairs have no weight in comparison to Tawheed. So the prophets and the messengers alayhim salatu wasalam, the first thing that they began with is the affair of Tawheed. And because of that you have the statement of the ulama, the likes of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafif Allah Ta'ala, where he said, أَوَّلُ مَا يَبْدَعُ بِهِ الدُّعَاتُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. The first thing that the callers to Allah begin with, لَا شَكْ أَنَّهُمْ يَبْدَعُونَ بِالْأَحَمْ فَالْأَحَمْ. No doubt they begin with that which has the most importance. يَبْدَعُونَ بِالدَّعْوَةِ إِلَى التَّوْحِيدِ. They begin with the call to Tawheed. يَعْنِي إِلَى إِصْلَاحِ الْعَقِيدَةِ. Meaning they began with the correction of the beliefs. لأن العقيدة هي الأساس الذي ينبني عليه صحة بقية الأعمال. He says, because the aqidah is the foundation that the correct actions will be built upon. يعني, if an action, if a person gives sadaqah, if a person does this, if a person helps people, if a person is honest in his transactions, but he has no tawheed, then that action is not correct. That action is not correct. Not that the action is not accepted. The action is accepted by Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. And it is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Ar-Rahman, is the reward for good except that a person gets good. So the kuffar, even when they do good, to some extent, it is accepted by Allah azza wa jalla. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, yani, the person that does good, he receives his good in this life. He will receive his good in this life. But on Yawm al-Qiyamah, yani, the true acceptance is that action gets registered for the individual and would save him in the Akhirah. It would save him or her in the Akhirah. So is it accepted, yani, the actions of the kuffar, is it accepted so much so that it would assist them in the akhirah? No, it is not. But will Allah ta'ala be unjust to them in this life? No, Allah will not be unjust to them. Allah azza wa jalla will not be unjust. Allah ta'ala la yadhlim mithqala dharra wa in takun hasanatan. Allah ta'ala would not oppress you. Allah ta'ala would not oppress you even the size of the weight of an atom. Allah would not oppress you. So this is something, as Sheikh Salih Fawzan mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that the du'at,
They begin with the affair of Tawheed. They begin with the affair of Tawheed, correcting the Aqeedah. And it's noticed what the Sheikh said. He said, correcting the Aqeedah. Because you might have some individuals that say, we only talk about Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, and Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. But they don't correct the Aqeedah. They don't correct when the people are worshipping. There might be some people that say, yes, we believe in Tawheed. Yes, we believe in Tawheed. And they say that Allah is the only one that deserves to be worshipped. Okay, thereafter, when you see people worshipping the graves, when you see people calling on the saints, when you see the people indulging in the charms and the amulets and the likes of that, do you correct their affair? Do you correct them? Do you stop them? Do you admonish them? Or do you leave the people to worship the saints, worship the graves, put their trust in the amulets, put their trust in the charms? No, this is not their affair. This is not the case. You have to advise these people, you have to warn these people. When the companions of the Prophet ﷺ came during the Sulh Hudaybiyah, and they said, Ya Rasulullah, ij'al lana. They said, Ya Rasulullah, they came upon a tree, and the kuffar used to hang their swords on this tree as a means of seeking barakah. The Prophet ﷺ, or the companions said, Ya Rasulullah, make us something similar to that which they do. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allahu Akbar, innaha la sunan. قُلْتُمْ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِي. You have said, I swear by the one who my soul is in his hands, you have said like the people of the mushrikeen, اِجْعَلْ لَنَا ذَاتَ أَنْوَاتِ كَمَا لَهُمْ ذَاتَ أَنْوَاتِ. You have said similar to the mushrikeen, make us a tree just like they have a tree. They have their tree for seeking the barakah. Are you likewise going to seek the barakah from this tree? So the Prophet ﷺ, we find that the Prophet ﷺ was very diligent in informing his companions of Tawheed, and likewise he was also extremely diligent in warning them of shirk in statements and actions and belief. And if you want to know the affair of how diligent the Prophet ﷺ was in warning his companions against all forms of shirk, read the book of Tawheed by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. It is a book that the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah of our time are in agreement. There has never been a book written. They are in agreement that there has not been a book written on the affair of Tawheed like Kitab al-Tawheed. Now, of course, we're not talking about, is Kitab al-Tawheed, A'udhu Billah, better than the Quran and the likes of that? No, we're not talking about that. But they're trying to say a book written by a man. There has not been a book written by a man the likes of Kitab al-Tawheed. Because it goes chapter after chapter to illustrate for you how the Prophet ﷺ dealt with the affair of Tawheed, and how he ﷺ warned against the affair of shirk. Now, so this is that which the Prophet ﷺ, or all of the Prophets and the Messengers, this is that which they began with. And you have in the hadith of Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, before he became Muslim, when he visited one of the lands of Rome, and he came upon Hiraql, and he said, Hiraql said to Abu Sufyan, ماذا يعمركم? And this is in the beginning of Sahih Bukhari. He said, what has he ordered you? What is the first thing that this man that people are saying he is crazy, this man that people are saying لقد سبا, he has become like an atheist, what does he order you? Abu Sufyan said, يَقُولُ اُعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَاتْرُكُوا مَا يَقُولُ آبَاؤُكُمْ. Abu Sufyan pay attention to the statement of Abu Sufyan. Hiraql, who is a disbeliever, is asking and questioning Abu Sufyan, who is also at that time a disbeliever. He said, Hiraql said to Abu Sufyan, what is he ordering you to do? Abu Sufyan said, he's ordering us to worship Allah alone. Look at that. Allahu Akbar. A disbeliever is informing, yani at that time, because Abu Sufyan was a disbeliever is informing, and he knows the call of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He knows the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, he orders us to worship Allah alone and do not commit
partners with him. And he orders us to leave alone the religion of our forefathers, to abandon the religion of our forefathers. That shows you that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so diligent in his da'wah. He was so focused in his da'wah that even the disbelievers knew that which he was upon. Now that's, before we continue, that's a benefit for us. Because if we were to ask the disbelievers, yani we're Muslims. Some of us are Muslims. Some of us, we live in England. Some of us, we live in America. We live in Canada. We live in Australia. And we have disbelieving neighbors. We have disbelieving relatives. Neighbors to the left, to the right, front, back, up, down. Relatives might live a distance away. But it's ajib, because if you were to come to some of those disbelieving relatives or those disbelieving neighbors who have Muslims, they have Muslim relatives, they have Muslim brothers, they have Muslim sisters, they have Muslim fathers, mothers, Muslim parents, Muslim children, the likes of that, Muslim neighbors, and you were to say, that Muslim that lives next to you or your Muslim relative, what do they call you to? What do they call you to? Some of them would say, oh, they tell me that I shouldn't drink. They tell me that I shouldn't go to parties. They tell me that I shouldn't fornicate and commit adultery. They tell me that I should be honest in my dealings and the likes of that. You find that the kuffar have not received, to some extent, the kuffar in many of the communities, the kuffar have not heard the true message of Islam. They said that the Muslims are so strict. They say no drinking. They say no alcohol. They say no this. Where is the call to tawheed? Where is the call to tawheed? Now there's no doubt those other things are important, but that is not the asas of our call. That is not the foundation of our call. The foundation of our call is that we call the people to tawheed. We call them to leave alone the worship, to abandon the worship of anything other than Allah. He is your Lord. He is your creator. This is what our Lord began with. Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءً, to the end of the ayat. Allah Ta'ala mentioned the affair of tawheed to all of mankind before anything. اُعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُم مِّنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُ, worship your Lord, you have no other Lord. So this is the call of our Lord. This is the call of the prophets and the messengers. So why with our neighbors, why with our friends or our relatives, why are we beginning with things that are not the foundation? Why are we beginning with other than that which Allah began with? Why don't they know that this is the foundation? And that's why, Allahu Alam, that may be why that many of them have not come to the religion of Islam. Because the callers to Islam are not following the path and the methodology of the prophets and the messengers. The prophets and the messengers began their call of tawheed. Why? Because when you begin with the call of tawheed, you tap into what? You tap into the fitrah. You tap into that which Allah Ta'ala has placed in every individual before He created them. You tap into that. You bring life to that fitrah. You bring familiarity with that fitrah. The fitrah is there. Allah has placed it in the individual. We mentioned the ayat already. We mentioned the verse from the Quran already, when Allah Ta'ala took the oath. When Allah Ta'ala took the oath, as we mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf, toward the end of the surah, when Allah took the oath from the children of Adam. So when you call with tawheed, when you call to tawheed, you're tapping into something which is already present in the individual. Allah created them. Allah brought them forth before He created them. Am I not your Lord? Qalu bala. All of them said, indeed you are our Lord. But when you tap into good character, they might find good character in other religions. They might be atheists and they implement already good character. When you talk about honesty in business transactions, they might find that in other religions. So when you call to other than tawheed, you are not tapping into something which Allah has assisted that individual with. You're not tapping into something that Allah has already placed in the individual. That's one. So it's possible that they don't feel the need to come. They don't feel the need to come. When Hiraql heard the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the way of Abu Sufyan, he understood that this was true. He understood that this was true. He said, if what you said is true, if I had the ability to reach this man, I would wash his feet. I would wash his feet. He understood that this statement is true. He did not come because of pride and because he felt his people would go against him. Even as mentioned in the same hadith, he called all of his people. He called all of his men. He closed the doors. He called all of them. He said, if I was to inform you that we should enter into this religion that this man is calling to, what would you say? All of them ran. All of them fled. They went to the doors. The doors were locked. He said, come back. I was only testing you. Come back. I was only testing you. He lost his dunya and his akhirah. He lost his dunya and he lost his akhirah. Taib. Najashi. The ruler of Ethiopia at that time. When he called the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent his companions to Habasha, Ethiopia. He said, there is a ruler, he does not oppress the people. He's a Christian, but he does not oppress the people. So he sent his companions to Habasha, and they went two times. But when they went to Habasha, some of the disbelievers from the people of Quraysh, they followed them. They did not want the Muslims to be able to practice their religion safely, with ease, with no fear of oppression. So the Quraysh, they sent their people to follow them and to speak to Najashi, to try to get the Muslims, to force the Muslims to come back to Mecca so that we can continue oppressing them, so that we can continue beating them, humiliating them. SubhanAllah, the shaitan doesn't want to leave you. Yani, I'm Muslim, I've left your land. You can have your land. I just want to go somewhere where I can worship my Lord. No, that's not enough. That's not enough. وَلَا يَزَالُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ حَتَّى يُرُدُّوكُمْ عَنْ دِينِكُمْ إِنَ اسْتَطَاعُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they will not stop fighting you. They will not stop oppressing you until they turn you back from your religion. It is not their goal, and I'm going to go back to the story, but it's not their goal that we leave their land and that we practice our Islam, but we just leave and we live somewhere else. No, that's not their goal. Their goal is that we no longer practice this religion. You can leave all you want. You can migrate to Saudi Arabia. You can migrate to Yemen. You can migrate to Egypt. That's not sufficient for them. They will not leave you until you leave your religion and the shaitan. And why? Because the shaitan is behind them and he will not leave you. It's not that I don't want you to live in England, or I don't want you to live in America, or I don't want you to live in Canada. No, that's not the case. I want you to live there because I want to turn you from your religion. If I can't get you, I want to turn your children from their religion. If I can't get them, I want to get your grandchildren. But my goal, yani, the shaitan, his goal is that somebody has to leave the religion. Now, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent the companions so that they can worship Allah under the laws of this Christian leader, because he does not oppress his people. What took place when the Muslims arrived, and thereafter the people of Quraysh arrived, and they approached the ruler? These people are from our land and they have left the religion. They have become atheists. We want you to please assist us and return them to us. Najashi, as the Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is a ruler, he doesn't oppress his people. He is a ruler, he doesn't oppress his people. So they brought the Muslims. Najashi brought the Muslims and said, tell me your story. What are you upon? Is it true that they say that you are atheists? And is it true that they say that you have abandoned the religion of your forefathers and the likes? Tell me your story. The companions came and they informed about the message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does he call to? He calls to the worship of Allah azza wa jal. He is alone, he has no partners. Leave alone the idols. Leave alone the false deities. Be honest. Be clean. No fornication, no adultery. So the companions informed about the message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, beginning from the foundation. When Najashi heard this call, he began to cry. Why? Because this was the fitrah. This was the fitrah. So when he heard this call, he immediately believed. And he said, you have a land of peace. You can stay here. He said to the people of Quraysh, go back. They are under me now. They can stay. Leave them in peace. Let them worship your Lord. Not only did he do that, but he did something that Hiraql didn't do. He entered into the fold of Islam. He did not tell his people. Because remember, Hiraql, he didn't enter the fold of Islam, although he knew that it was the truth. He didn't enter the fold of Islam because he feared his people. Najashi, he also feared his people, but he did not allow that to destroy his dunya and his akhirah. He entered into Islam. Why? Because they tapped into the fitrah. They tapped into the fitrah. By informing of the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they tapped into his fitrah. He immediately believed it. So this is something that, yes, it is upon the callers to begin with. It is upon the Muslims to begin with their neighbors, with their relatives, with their family, with the world. It is upon the Muslim to begin with this. Because this is the foundation. And unfortunately, you find, you approach them with good dealings, you approach them with the woman covering and the likes of that. They say, but you know what, I have found that comfort and that legislation that you're referring to, I have found it in Buddhism, I have found it in this, I have found it in that. So you're not tapping into something that Allah has already equipped them with. You need to tap into the fitrah. You need to tap into the tawheed. Now, it was mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala in his Majmu'. He said, "Ar-Rusul iftatahu da'watahum bil-amri bil-ibadati Allahi wahdahu duna ma siwa." He said, "The Rusul." He said, "The messengers, they began their da'wah with the obligation of tawheed, worshipping Allah alone, and worshipping no other than Allah." كما أخبر الله عن نوح, as Allah has informed about Nuh, وهود, هود, وصالح, صالح, وشعيب, وقومهم, كانوا مقرين بالخالق. لكنهم كانوا مشركين يعبدون غيره. Because all of the people of these prophets, Nuh, Hud, Salih, Shu'aib, all of them, the people, they knew that Allah is the only creator, but they would worship other than Allah. كما كانت العرب الذين بعث فيهم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Just like the Arab, they knew that Allah is the only creator, that Allah is the only provider, but they still worship other than Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is something extremely important. We have to begin with the affair of Tawheed. The affair of Tawheed is the first thing that is incumbent upon the servant. As is in the hadith of Ibn Abbas, with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Mu'adh ila al-Yemen. فقال إنك تقدم على قوم من أهل الكتاب فليكن أول ما تدعوهم إليه أن يعبدوا الله تعالى. To the end of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Mu'adh, indeed you are going to Yemen. Afwan, indeed you are approaching a people from the book. So let the first thing that you call them to is to worship Allah alone. Is to worship Allah alone. Then Naam, so this was the first thing that our beloved messenger began with, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the foundation. You're going to call the people, call them to tawheed. Yani, there's no doubt that the other affairs are important. Defending Islam against terrorism is important, and the likes. Defending Islam against mistreatment of women. Naam, we tackle those affairs. But our main goal, our main foundation is to call the people to tawheed. If we find that the majority of our propagation is defending Islam against terrorism and defending Islam against human rights, Afwan, rights of the women, and defending Islam against this and defending Islam against that, if we find that for the last 3, 5, 10 years that our Islamic propagation has been focused on defending Islam against terrorism and defending Islam against women's rights and the likes of that, that has been 75% of our call, and the remaining 25% has been on tawheed, then that's negligence. That is negligence. If we find the durus of the ulama, and the ulama is the first, they are the first to defend Islam. But we find the books of the ulama, we find the lessons of the ulama. Yes, they defend Islam against terrorism, they defend Islam against women's rights and marriage in Islam and Islamic community. Yes, they do all of that. But their main focus is on tawheed. Their main focus is on tawheed, and because of that, it's upon us to rethink our affair. To rethink our affair and give tawheed its right. Give it its balance. Now, It was also mentioned with regards to the merits of Tawheed, is that the greatest surah in the Quran, is, it comprises the three affairs of Tawheed, as it was mentioned by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala in Madarij al-Salikin. He says, اعلم أن هذه سورة آية الفاتحة اشتملت على أمهات المطالب العالية أتم الاشتمال وتضمنتها أكمل التضمن فاشتملت على تعريف بالعبودية تبارك وتعالى بالمعبود عفوا بالمعبود تبارك وتعالى. نعم, he mentioned that the affair of سورة الفاتحة, it comprises the most important affairs, because it begins with the تعريف بالمعبود, about informing about Allah Azza wa Jal, And it was also mentioned by Ibn Abil Izz al-Hanafi in his Sharh of Aqidat al-Wasitiyya. He says, فالقرآن كله في التوحيد وحقوقه وجزائه وفي شأن الشرك وأهله وجزائهم. And then he goes on to mention about Surah Al-Fatiha. He says, the Quran, all of it, is on the affair of Tawheed, and the rights of Tawheed, and the reward of Tawheed. And the Quran, all of it, is about the affair of Shirk, and the people of Shirk, and the punishment for committing Shirk. Then he goes on, he says, فَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبَّ Tawheed. He says, all praise be to Allah. He goes on to talk about Fatiha. All praise be to Allah is Tawheed. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Tawheed. Maliki Yawm Ad-Din, Tawheed. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ Tawheed. إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ Tawheed. مُتَدَمِّنٌ لِسِوَالِ الْحِدَايَةِ إِلَى تَرِيكِ أَهْلِ التَّوْهِيدَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. He says, إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ is Tawheed. And it comprises asking Allah to tread the path of the people of Tawheed, those whom Allah has blessed. غَيْرُ مَغْدُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ الَّذِينَ فَارَقُوا التَّوْهِيدَ غَيْرُ مَغْدُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. This is that you are asking Allah to abandon the path of the people who have abandoned Tawheed. Now, so this was mentioned by Ibn Abil Izz rahimahullahu ta'ala. Now, so these were, and there are many more, that can be mentioned about the merits of Tawheed. But the reality is, oh my brother and sister, if you were to go through the Quran from the beginning of to the end of it, and you were to do similar to that which was said by Ibn Abil Izz, Tawheed al-Asma, Tawheed al-Sifat, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, the punishment of the people of Shirk, the warning against this, the warning against that. If you were to make a notebook and just put different categories in the notebook and then read the Quran, there is not a verse in the Quran except that it would fall under one of these categories of Tawheed. Warning against Shirk, warning against the people of Shirk, warning against the final destination, which is the hellfire of the people of Shirk. There is not a verse in the Quran except that it informs of one of these categories. Now, some might say, what about fiqh? What about the performance of Hajj? What about the Siyam? These are from the affairs that complete Tawheed. Because Tawheed is that you worship Allah alone and you do not commit partners. Not that you just believe. But there's, it also mandates that you worship Allah. From the worship of Allah is Salat. From the worship of Allah is Siyam. From the worship of Allah is Hajj. So my point is, the Quran from the beginning of it, as it was mentioned by Ibn Abil Izz, from the beginning of it to the end of it, is on the affair of Tawheed. Now this is extremely important, my brothers and sisters. And it's mandatory that we go back to the affair of the people of the Salaf. Yani when we read these narrations of the Salaf, about taking the affair back to the people of the Salaf, the statement of Imam Malik, لا يصلح آخر هذه الأمة إلا ما صلحت أولها, that the latter part of the Ummah would not be corrected and rectified except with that which the beginning of this Ummah was corrected and rectified with. It is not only abandoning the people of innovation and staying away from the people of innovation. No, it is not only that. It is not solely that. It is also the affair of Tawheed, calling the people to Tawheed, warning the people against Shirk, and warning the people against innovation. And the people of innovation, the people of Shirk, Kufr, and innovation. So this is something extremely important. We have to begin our affair, rectify our affair, and make it similar to their call, the call of the Salaf, the call of the prophets and the messengers. And this is that which we have to begin with in our families. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his family, with his companions, with his wives, with his children, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was strong in teaching tawheed. He was strong in warning against shirk. From the beginning of his message, when he stood on the mountain in Medina and called the people, if I was to inform you that there's an army behind this mountain, would you believe me? They said, we've only known you to speak the truth. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I warn you of a severe punishment for those who do not worship Allah and those who commit partners with Allah. From the beginning until the end, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on the chest of Aisha, and he said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى اتَّخَذُوا قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ مَسَاجِدْ أَلَا إِنِّي أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْ ذَلَكَ. May Allah curse the Jews and the Christians. They took the graves of their prophets and the messengers as places of worship. I forbid you from doing so. So from the beginning of his call to the end of his call, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was focusing on tawheed. This is that which we need to establish in our homes. Our kids, day after day, night after night, our kids need to hear about tawheed. Our wives need to hear about tawheed. The sisters, their husbands need to hear about tawheed. We need to make our house a fortress built on tawheed. So this is something that I remind myself, and I remind my brothers, and I remind my sisters. And we ask Allah ta'ala to make it that which we have heard of benefit. And we ask Allah ta'ala to protect us from all types of transgression, starting from shirk and then bid'ah and the people of bid'ah. And we ask Allah ta'ala to cleanse our souls and rectify it with tawheed, and to fortify us with tawheed, and to protect us with tawheed, and to bring about our death upon tawheed, and to bring about our resurrection upon tawheed, and to enter us into Jannah with tawheed. Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira.